Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki.
Jai.
God and Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Devotees, how nice to be here with you. And I hope you're all happy in Krishna consciousness. And I hope you're happy in Jagannath consciousness. Seeing we had this very beautiful Snan Yatra just now, and Jagannath Rath Yatra is coming up in 1 week, I thought we could read about these things from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 13, the Lord's dancing at Rath Yatra. And I'll read verse 8. Balishta Daita Gana Yena Matahati Jagannatha Vijaya Kardaya Kali Hatahati. The very strongly built dieters, carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. Today, well, we just saw our very strongly built dieters from the nature carrying the deities out and then in. How wonderful. Yes, Vijay Baladev Prabhu. As powerful as a drunken elephant. So let me read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Daita refers to one who has received the mercy of the Lord. Daita. Yes, daya, meaning mercy, compassion, mercy in the sense of compassion, daya. So the word daita refers to one who has received the mercy of the Lord. Lord Jagannath has a number of stalwart servants known as daitas. This is now Prabhupada's referring to traditionally in Jagannath Puri. These servants do not come from very high caste families, Brahmin, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, but because they're engaged in the service of the Lord, they have been elevated to a respected position. Thus, they are known as deities. These servants of Lord Jagannath take care of the Lord from the day of the Snan Yatra up to the time the Lord is carried from the throne to the Rathka. In the Kshetra Mahatmya, these deities are said to come from the Shabarans, a caste that keeps and sells pigs. However, among the deities, there are also many who come from the Brahmin caste. Those deities coming from the Brahmin families are called Dayatapatis, or leaders of the Dayatas. The Dayatapatis offer food, such as sweetmeats, to Lord Jagannath during the Anavasara, the resting period after Snan Yatra. So our Jagannath deities, they have kindly come back out in front of us immediately after the Snan Yatra, but generally they then retire and they rest for, generally actually for 2 weeks, 15 days before the Ratha Yatra, when they again come out into public. But Jagannath here is being particularly merciful to us all and coming out immediately. So the Dayatapatis offer food such as sweetmeats to Lord Jagannath during the Anavasara, the resting period after Snan Yatra. They also make the early morning offerings of sweetmeats daily. It is said that during the Anavasara, Lord Jagannath suffers from fever, and that the Dayatapatis offer him an infusion of drugs represented by fruit juice. It is said that in the beginning, Lord Jagannath was worshipped by the Shabaras and was known as the deity Nila Madhava. Later, when the deity was established in the temple, the Lord became known as Jagannath. Because the deities were taken from the Shabaras, all the Shabara devotees were elevated to the position of deities. Let me just read the verse again. It's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 13. The Lord's Dancing at Ratha Yatra, text 8. Balishta Dayata Gana Yena Matahati Jagannatha Vijaya Karaya Kari Hatahati. Translation: the very strongly built dayatas, carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adeshita Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vanchkapjaribhyascha Krita Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Just bearing in mind, we had these other things, programs. What time? It's now 11. What time should I go on till?
Till 12.
Until 12.
Yes. Yes, so we, at least those of us who are present, we just took part in a very wonderful ceremony, Snan Yatra. Snan means to bathe, to take a bath. Snan Yatra, the festival, the bathing festival of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Devi. At least traditionally, these deities, Jagannath deities in general, Jagannath deities as a type of deity, they are not bathed. Other deities, well, at least particularly metal deities, like our smaller Gaunatai deities on the altar here, they are bathed. And ideally, they should be bathed every day. Yes. Sometimes when devotees ask us about worshipping Gaunatai deities at home, sometimes they ask, what standard should they maintain? And, well, as I mentioned, the deities should really be bathed every day, at least metal deities. But sometimes devotees, or oftentimes householder devotees, they feel they can't do that because of time constraints. So then we tell them, well, not less than once a week. Less than once a week. Like once every 2 weeks or so, then it's substandard. Yes. And the deity, who is a person, will not be happy. So Jagannath deities cannot be bathed like that because they are wooden in terms of their material construction. They are wooden and they are covered in paint. And the water will penetrate sooner or later through the paint, and in this way the paint will come off and it may damage the wood and problems like that. So therefore Jagannath deities are not bathed, but they are wiped. It should be, again, should be on a daily basis, actually. They're wiped just to keep them clean, even if it may be very, very slightly damp cloth, maybe, or just... But cleanliness is an extremely important part of Krishna consciousness. Famous Christian say, Christian, I guess, cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Srila Prabhupada once is said to have said that actually cleanliness is godliness, we've heard. So we keep the deities clean, but then traditionally, Jagannath deities are bathed once a year on the Snan Yatra day. They are bathed, fully bathed. And not just, fully bathed means it may take half an hour or just bathing, it's a lot. And then we didn't do that, as you may have noticed, those of you who are here. We used mirrors because the form of the Lord in a physical form, like on the altar or like the Jagannath deity's head, or like in a picture as we see on the walls, even if we just remember the deity form of the Lord, then just picture within our minds. Can you picture Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi within your minds? Close your eyes. Try and picture Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi in your minds. They look beautiful, don't they? So even that, when we just think of the deity form of the Lord is present. So, and therefore he's present in a mirror image also. And therefore we have this practice, if we want to bathe some deities, but we don't for whatever reason want to actually bathe their physical forms, we may use mirrors, which we just did. And then what happens, at least traditionally, the idea is that there's, from immediately after the Snan Yatra, the deities are taken out after the Snan Yatra, and then they're taken into sort of seclusion, you could say, some private room, some private place. I remember every year in London, in central London, there are Jagannath deities on the altar. But every year they go on Rath Yatra in central London. And every year they, at least when I was there some time ago, every year they'd come out for Snan Yatra. They'd come out to Bhaktivedanta Manor and there would be Snan Yatra. And then they would go into Srila Prabhupada's quarters in Bhaktivedanta Manor and be worshipped sort of in seclusion. I mean, it wasn't, the devotees could come and see them, but not like, you know, on the altar, just there all day, every day, for everyone. And we read here, well, that period is called Anavasara. And during the Anavasara period, the deity is usually repaired because, you know, paint and deity being, if not bathed every day, but handled every day, and clothes put on and clothes taken off, and ornaments put on and ornaments taken off, and crowns and garlands and so on a daily basis, and even on a twice daily basis. So the paintwork becomes a little, you know, deteriorated because of that. So this is what happens. Then the deities are repaired. And there's mention actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there was, and I guess there still is, but in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was a specific devotee, and his duty was to repair the deities during that 2-week period. His name was Janardhan Das. And there's a description in Chaitanya Charitamrita of how he was introduced to Lord Chaitanya as being this person who repairs the deities, and, you know, very sort of artistic and talented type of devotee. So, and traditionally, well, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, there is this idea held that Lord Jagannath, having been bathed for, you know, quite some period of time, normally we don't take a shower for half an hour, do we? And in some cases, these big snanyachas may go on for 2 hours, 3 hours, just continuous bathing and bathing and bathing, and different substances, and water and milk and yogurt and ghee and honey and sugar water and fruit juices and all sorts of things, even for hours, for hours. Well, one would tend to catch a cold, wouldn't one? Standing there undressed, or, you know, and with all these things being poured over you, and all different things, and some of them are warm and some are cool, and so you tend to get a cold. So this is the idea, that Jagannath catches a cold, a fever, and then he has to be looked after, cared for. And Prabhupada mentioned here, we read, that the Dayatapatis means the leaders of those who handle the deities during the whole period of the Ratha Yatra, from the Snan Yatra time right through to the Ratha Yatra itself. And then after the Ratha Yatra, the deities stay in Gundicha for a week or so, and then they come back again. So it's like 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks or so that the deities are basically in the hands, under the care of these dayatas, headed by the Dayatapatis. Dayata meaning those who have received mercy, and Dayatapatis meaning the leaders of those who have received mercy from the Lord. So, Prabhupada says, Jagannath suffers from a fever, and the Dayatapatis offer him an infusion of drugs represented by fruit juice. Yes, and elsewhere I was reading, Prabhupada says that during that 2 week period, Jagannath is offered khichdi. Khichdi, often thought to not be a very special type of preparation. Of course, there is khichdi and khichdi. Not all khichdis are equal. And a khichdi is done nicely. Prabhupada said, it is a poor man's meal, fit for a king. Good khichdi. Good khichdi. So this is what I said. Khichdi and ginger lemon tea with herbs and honey. You know, after all, it's very traditional devotee practice. Whenever anyone gets a cold, ginger tea. Yeah, and of course there's ginger tea and ginger tea too. Back in the good old days, when I first joined the temple, I remember I got sick after a while, and they served me ginger tea, but it was a special version. It was called Brahmastra. And it was ginger tea, but with lots of chili and, like, you know, so much ginger. Oh, wow. Yeah. So like this, there's this tradition of the Jagannath deities being treated for that period of 2 weeks, or in our case it's going to be 1 week, being treated as if they have got a cold, some sort of like that. And so they're given different things which are relevant. nowadays, of course, I don't think we should offer them antibiotics. Yeah. But it was our practice, and I do remember from those many years ago, I'm out of touch with London now, but devotees used to prepare all sorts of things, different potions. You know, I get sick sometimes, and in fact, I'm a bit sick at the moment, and I was worse some days ago. And all these kind, oftentimes when I get a cold, very kind devotees come and suggest, you should take this, you should take that, you should take this, you should take that, you should take something else, you should take another thing. And, you know, I may get seriously, literally, no joking, suggestions of even up to 50 different things which I should take to cure the cold. And I'm sure if I took all of them, I would die. This is just too much. It's just too much. Oh, Krishna. But what we used to do, we used to make different preparations, potions, and things for Jagannath, with all special types of teas and soups and subjis which are for colds. You know, not using vegetables which cause mucus. Not using rice, which causes mucus, and so on. And devotees would write Jagannath get well cards. Oh, in that room in Prabhupada's quarters where the deities were, there's just rows and rows of get well cards. It's really nice. Because this is Krishna consciousness, ultimately. Krishna consciousness is a personal process. It's not just a process. Just, you know, step by step. Step one, step two, step three. No, just a system, kind of mechanical procedure, series of procedures. Krishna consciousness is very personal. And treating the way we treat the deities, and during this period, from now till next week, Sunday, are they coming out?
Sunday, yes.
Coming out on Sunday. It's nice. Where are they going to be, actually?
Sorry?
Where will they be?
They're Shamshundas, please, so they'll come.
Okay. Right, so they're actually, yeah, the deities we'll be using for the actual festival are at Shamsunda's place in Centurion, Pretoria. So, you know, maybe you can email or WhatsApp pictures of ginger tea. Certainly you can WhatsApp cards. Oh, yes. But the bottom line, the point ultimately is to really, that Krishna consciousness is personal. It's not impersonal. And therefore we take, you know, sometimes there's a little saying or something, if someone offends you, don't take it personally. What does that mean? Take it impersonally. Or just don't take it. But in Krishna consciousness, we should take things personally, in a nice sense. Yeah. So, and where will these deities be?
They'll Hare Krishna.
Krishna Priya.
She's there.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I'll leave it up to you what to do, but you can do something. Think creatively. Yeah. Maybe send some ginger tea by courier. Or just drop in over there. Rudaport way, right? Yeah. Drop in with some ginger tea and some
chilies.
Prema Sarovar's mother makes ginger sweets. Yeah, they're powerful. So, anyway, this is a suggestion that, you know, even if you have Jagannath deities at home, or even you just have pictures of Jagannath deities, you know, that's not uncommon. But take it that they are now sick. They have a fever, they have like a flu. And try and interact with them in those terms and be personal about it. Because that is Krishna consciousness. And yeah, and send get well cards. Send get well cards. That's easy to do. And then when Jagannath comes out on Sunday morning in 1 week, 10-ish, 10 or 11. When he comes out, when they come out, then, you know, I remember in London there, when the deities would come up for the Ratha Yatra, it was just such a feeling like seeing them again. Everything is renewed. The relationship is deepened and enriched. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. That we're developing a personal relationship with Krishna, but we're developing personal relationships with Krishna, with the devotees of Krishna, like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Govardhan, Jagannath and Baladev and Subhadra and Prabhupada, and ultimately and with each other. Because Krishna consciousness is personal. What is that verse? Chadiya Narottam Das Thakur has written a verse in one of his songs. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva, which basically, you know, in essence you could say it means we should serve the devotees, we must serve the devotees. But Prabhupada paraphrases it in one place. Yeah, in a very interesting and important way. Prabhupada says, he quotes that little line, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva, and Prabhupada says that no one has gone back to Godhead without smearing on their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. No one has gone back to Godhead. Yes. So smearing, you know, smearing doesn't just mean you take a little bit of smearing. You know, smearing is serious, right? You just immerse yourself. Right, so no one has gone back to Godhead so far without smearing upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. That's very personal. So yes, Krishna consciousness in general, Krishna consciousness is a very personal process in which on the basis of, with the sort of focal point of developing the personal relationship with Krishna, but it includes, it expands out to include and necessarily include all of our relationships. Krishna, his expansions, the devotees, and different types of devotees, because different devotees are of different types and therefore should be treated differently, and different devotees are on different levels and therefore need to be treated differently. And by doing that, then we develop in Krishna consciousness, we progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is very nice, this is very wonderful. Nowadays, of course, someone showed me a photo of people walking down a road, a footpath, you know, sort of like working business type people. And there was like 10 of them in the photo, walking down the sidewalk of some city somewhere. Every single one of them had their phone out and was, you know, doing something on the phone. Every single last one, without exception. Of course, that, I assume, texting other persons. But when I was young, and I think that even means, you know, 10 years ago. Not that I was so young 10 years ago. Some years ago, there was no such thing as texting on a phone. If you wanted to speak to a person, you know, the quickest you could do was telephone them. If they happened to be, you know, near a telephone that you knew the number of. Otherwise, you had to actually go and speak to them personally. Yeah. So Krishna consciousness is personal. And we should look at it in those terms. And as we try to practice and cultivate our Krishna consciousness, we should try to develop personal, impersonal ways. And we should try to develop personal relationships, particularly within the society of Krishna consciousness, means including the deities, including the Lord, but also including the devotees. And if we do that, then we can understand that we are progressing, or at least we may be progressing in Krishna consciousness. Because it's not just that you should just be very austere or, you know, very powerful something or other, a powerful kirtan leader, and then you're progressing in Krishna consciousness. A powerful orator, then you're progressing in Krishna consciousness. A powerful cook, and then you're progressing in Krishna consciousness. I mean, those things are important and relevant, but if you're, even if you're some super duper kirtan person, You know what they call kirtan leaders in Russia? In Russia? Kirtan chick. Yes. Kirtan chick. So even if you're a powerful kirtan chick, and when it's Sunday, and it's time for the arati at the end of the program, then, you know, they're looking, where is you? And, you know, they want you to lead kirtan, which is nice, it's good. But if you're not working on personal relationships, this personal aspect of Krishna consciousness, then you may, you can even find yourself in a bit of a desert of Krishna consciousness. Or, you know, at least shall we say, lacking somewhat in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness means developing relationships. Krishna is never alone. It will never be just you and Krishna. And goodbye, cruel world. Goodbye, everybody else. It's just me and Krishna. It'll never be like that. Krishna is never alone. Krishna is never alone. The spiritual master is never alone. Prabhupada even made the point, if you see a picture of Krishna and there is not a devotee in there, it's not valid. It's not acceptable. At least a cow or a peacock. But better, you know, Srimati Radharani or Cowherd Boys or something like this. So relationship is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. And we need to work on developing our Krishna conscious relationships nicely. Yes, and this, the Snan Yatra and Ratha Yatra, this is all such an important part of that. After all, what is Ratha Yatra? I was reading a while ago, actually, a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's given at a Ratha Yatra festival somewhere. I forget where, maybe in San Francisco, but anyway. Prabhupada was saying, he told a little bit of the story of Ratha Yatra. How Krishna had been separated from the inhabitants of Vrindavan for many years due to his pastimes and, you know, the different necessities arising in his pastimes to go here and there, elsewhere. So Lord Krishna was separated from the inhabitants of Vrindavan for many years. But then they were reunited after many years at Kurukshetra. Even some devotees suggest that what is the most important place? Of course, the tendency is to answer Vrindavan, and it's true. But sometimes devotees say Kurukshetra, because there Krishna and the Brijvasis, particularly the gopis, and particularly Srimati Radharani, were reunited after many years of separation. And you know what they say? Separation makes the heart grow fonder. Yes. You know, that's a well-known saying. Separation makes the heart grow fonder. But what about out of sight, out of mind? These are material, the thing is, these are material examples. They're not absolute. No, that to some degree they may be used under certain circumstances in Krishna consciousness, but they're not absolute. So yes, when the Brijvasis were reunited with Krishna, and Krishna was reunited with the Brijvasis in Kurukshetra at that great solar eclipse, then the whole experience of reunion after so many years of separation, it was just very amazing and very wonderful. This is one of the explanations of why there is separation in Krishna's pastimes. Because even spiritually, when there's separation and then there's meeting after separation, then the meeting, the experience of meeting is heightened beyond what it would have been like if you were just together all the time in sort of in the meantime, but you were separated in the meantime. But if you had just been together in the meantime, the experience of feelings and happiness, joy, excitement, exhilaration, and all these types of feelings in very extreme states, they would just not be the same. In fact, you may have heard Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about how one devotee questioned Srimati Radharani one time, that you and Krishna, it's so difficult for you. You meet together, then you're separated, and then you meet together after considerable difficulty, but then you're separated again, and then there's anxiety when you're separated, and you struggle to meet again, and you may not meet, but then a little later you may meet. And the devotee suggested to Srimati Radharani, wouldn't it be better if you and Krishna were just married and you could just be together all the time? And indeed, you would sort of have to be together all the time. Because if you weren't, then people would become suspicious and doubtful and not be happy perhaps with your relationship. So wouldn't it be better like that? And then you wouldn't have to go through all this anxiety and being separated and struggling to meet, and then after you've met and it's very nice, but then you're separated, even sometimes a bit dramatically. Wouldn't it be better if you were just married and you could be together and you would be together all the time? And Srimati Radharani, her answer was that I think it would be boring. And she said, what would we do? We would just sit together and look at each other. And Krishna would say, I love you. And I would say, I love you too. And he would say, I love you very much. And I would say, I love you very much too. And it would be boring. But all these struggles and challenges and obstacles we face, they make everything so exciting and so wonderful. So when we do meet again, oh, it is just the best experience. The best of the best and beyond that. And she said that actually our relationship is something like a very good chutney. And even Srila Prabhupada gave the definition of a very good chutney. so hot you can hardly eat it, but so sweet you can't resist it. So Radharani said that our relationship is something like that. Sometimes it's so difficult, it seems actually too much. But then it's so wonderful that it's just irresistible. And as we mention sometimes, where I'm from, Chatsworth, that there, particularly Unit 3, sometimes Unit 2, they have such a chutney. You know that one? It's red chilies mixed with green chilies. Bit of salt and some sugar. And they call it mother-in-law's revenge. So therefore that reunion in Kurukshetra, it's not exactly like Vrindavan, but still it's very, very special. Reunion after many years of separation, and just the overwhelming and by our standards completely inconceivable experience of happiness of being reunited with the beloved after many years of separation. And that is the essence of Rath Yatra. And Srila Prabhupada was talking about this. And Prabhupada said that therefore this Rath Yatra festival, Prabhupada said, it is a feelings festival. A feelings festival of being reunited with the Lord. You know, we are separated from Krishna. We're here in this material world. Of course, we're here in the temple, and I think generally the great majority, if not all of you, are practicing Krishna consciousness on an ongoing basis to one degree or another. But in general, the people in general, they're separated from Krishna. They're separated. But they have found substitutes for Krishna. Just imagine, you might be someone's substitute for Krishna. Yeah? The person at heart, in their heart, what they're looking for, what they need, and what their aspiration really is for, is for a relationship with Krishna. Means perfect relationship. Beyond perfect, inconceivably perfect. So perfect that you can be in it eternally and never become bored. So people are looking for that. Means they're looking for Krishna. But in their search for Krishna, they found you. And they thought, aha, now I found him or her. This is what we call the booby prize. You understand the booby prize? The prize may be 10,000 rands or millions of rands. That's the prize. But you don't quite get that. You get the booby prize. And what do you get?
One
rand. Or maybe one of these little children's party whistles, you know, you blow on it and the thing rolls out. and then you stop blowing and it rolls back in. You know what I mean? You could have got millions or billions, but you got that. And it's your prize, and it's like, I got a prize, see? Everybody gets a prize. But that's the booby prize. So devotees, don't take it personally, but I mean, but do. You don't want to be somebody's booby prize. Substitute for Krishna instead of Krishna. Now they're looking for that ultimate relationship with the ultimate person so that their life just becomes complete and they ended up with you. I mean, of course, it's another thing if you're really a serious devotee, then your association will actually enrich their lives and be something very nice and help with the relationship with Krishna. Yes. So, just like I mentioned Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Vaishnava Seva Nistaya Page Keva, no one has gone back to Godhead without smearing, you know, over their bodies the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. There's also, we know in Bhagavad Gita on a few occasions, Lord Krishna makes the point that when you go back to Godhead, when you go back to the spiritual world, you don't come back to the material world again. I'm sure you've read that. It's there in a few cases, a few places in Bhagavad Gita. And many years ago, I was reading a transcript of a lecture, Srila Prabhupada's, and he was commenting on that. And Prabhupada said, you know, he's commenting on this, once you go back to Goloka, you never come back here again. And Prabhupada said, so far, no one has returned. Of course, we don't want to become the first one to come back to lens. But Krishna consciousness is a personal process. And we should try and take it personally. And in other words, just try and be nice and be thoughtful and be considerate and be appreciative. And on those types of bases, have Paravita Prabhu Ki Jai. This is probably very bad Hindi, but Mera. What? Purani Bandhu Hai, is that?
Purana Dost.
Purana?
Dost.
Dost. Bandhu?
Bandhu is also possible.
Dost. We're old friends from London in the 70s. You were the head, weren't you the head pujari in the manor? Yes. So yes. We should try and take Krishna consciousness like that. And of course we also have to work hard, have some service and really try and give it our best, heart and soul, as a service to please the Lord, to please Prabhupada, to please the devotees. But on the other hand, we don't want to just become sort of Krishna conscious, quote unquote, workaholics. Where you just work hard and you over-endeavor. And because when you over-endeavor, you lose your sense of personalism. And you just become absorbed in doing it, getting it done. Yeah, workaholism. But we have to really try to develop the personal aspect of Krishna consciousness. And this whole event, it's an event over in our cases, at least a week. Of the Lord, we just bathe the Lord, Now he's going to be a little indisposed, perhaps. But then we're going to see him again next week, Sunday. Let's try and take it personally and cultivate some meditation, at least like that. And, you know, send some get well cards to Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra at Shamsunda's address. You know, if we really get into it, we might crash WhatsApp. Sending so many get well cards. And in this way, Rath Yatra, this being part of Rath Yatra, and Rath Yatra being a feelings festival for the devotees, then this will all enrich us, and the whole experience of the Rath Yatra will enrich us in Krishna consciousness. So, let me just have a look at the questions here for a moment. Hare Krishna, please speak about the first Rath Yatra in ISKCON. You know, you can read about it in Prabhupada Lilamrita. It was in San Francisco. I mean, I assume many of you will probably have read about it. And they hired, I believe, an open back truck of some sort and put the deities on the truck and went with hippies and kirtan, and it was very nice. That was the first Rath Yatra in ISKCON. I remember many years ago, it might have been 1989 or 90, we did a similar thing in Johannesburg on the university, the VITS rag day. Is it called a rag day?
Rag, it's called rag, yeah.
Rag, yeah. Yeah. And we hired an open back truck and we made a Jagannath. He was like several feet tall. I mean, he was taller than a human being. And he was wide enough, he filled the entire width of the truck. And he was there facing backwards. Yeah. And I don't know if you've had experience of a rag event. You know, they do this rag procession. We were part of the whole festival official. And you get all these students, and they were drunk. They were intoxicated in different ways. But they really got attached to Jagannath. And they were running around with their bottles of beer and whatever, and just, you know, really going wild. But numerous of them would come every minute, or some of them would come around and wave to Jagannath. Yeah. And they called him Jaggy. Jai Jaggy! Yeah. So that was a similar type of event, but in Johannesburg, through Braamfontein. Yeah. Please tell us about the appearance of Subhadra Maharani. Is she Krishna's twin sister? No, she is the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki after they were released from prison. After they were released, after Krishna appeared. So she's Krishna's younger sister. Yeah. Explain why Lord Jagannath sometimes has a trunk. Is it because he appears to look like an elephant? Or does he actually assume the form of an elephant? You know, there's a tradition in Jagannath Puri, in the Jagannath temple, of sort of dressing and decorating and making Jagannath appear in different ways. So that's like Ganesh Jagannath. And to be frank, at least from the point of view of Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, it is more on the speculative side. Yeah. We don't get into that sort of thing. Yeah. But in Jagannath Puri, they have such a tradition. The Jagannath temple is not really in one of the sampradayas. It's just sort of a sampradaya of its own or something along those lines. And there are certain things there which are not, which, let us just say, we don't do and we wouldn't do. But you've got to be careful about being critical. Because, was it Ramanujacharya went there? If I remember correctly, I don't know. Someone went there, I think it was Ramanujacharya, and noticed they were doing some things with the deities, which according to like Shastric standards, were not up to standard. And he thought in his mind, he thought about them negatively. Why are they doing this? You know, they should do something better. And he had a dream that night. Jagannath came and slapped him. And Jagannath threw him to, where was it? Vijayawada, or somewhere really quite down the coast, or east coast of India. And he woke up. And he found he was there. Isn't it? There's a story along those lines, definitely. Yeah. At least in principle along those lines. So, you know, we're not going to start saying they are upper sampradaya or something like that. But we just would definitely say they do some things which we don't and wouldn't do. And one of them is to dress Jagannath up with an elephant trunk. Yeah. Sometimes a person does not feel like chanting on japa. What brings this mood? Here's a short answer. Maya. And how can one counteract the mood? Get out of my chant. Yeah. Prabhupada made the point on numerous occasions that sadhana bhakti, particularly vaidhi sadhana bhakti, means there are certain things you are instructed to do by scripture and or by the spiritual master or previous acharyas, and you just must do them. And whether you feel in this way or that way or whatever way is not part of the equation. It just doesn't, it is not to be taken into consideration actually. You just do it. Yeah. And one of those things, and you know, in perhaps the most foundational practically, is to chant on your beads. Yeah. Every day. Preferably a minimum of 16 rounds. Or if you're not doing that, then at least, you know, gradually work your way up to that point. So, because the mind has a mind of its own, you could say, isn't it? Sometimes your mind suggests things and you think, where did that come from? So, we should not listen to our minds, particularly in terms of these very foundational aspects of Krishna consciousness, but we should learn what is the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, and then apply that. And Prabhupada, there's a discussion of Srila Prabhupada, you can look it up on the computer if you've got Prabhupada's books and things on computer. Prabhupada's discussing, a devotee asks Prabhupada, how can you tell when your chanting is of good quality? And Prabhupada does not answer. And the devotee asks again, and Prabhupada says, you will know when your chanting is of good quality, when your chanting is of good quality. Yes. But anyway, the devotee sort of persists. And Prabhupada says, you'll know your chanting is of good quality when you think, why just 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? And Prabhupada said, but now we are not on that level. So now we need to be told, and Prabhupada puts it in a really sort of pretty strong way, that okay, you have bees, 16 rounds. 16 rounds or get out. Yeah. Or get out. Prabhupada says. Yeah. So sometimes a person doesn't feel like chanting on japa beads. That's what brings this mood. It's just we're habituated to material existence. And we're like, you know, in a different context, Prabhupada gave the example of an electric fan. You plug it in and it's spinning. Soon as you unplug it, it starts slowing down. It just does. It never will just keep on. It'll just start slowing down. So as soon, I mean, in a different context, as soon as we stop making like conscious efforts to practice and be Krishna conscious, then immediately the mind just starts gravitating towards other things. It's just programmed in. It's just the way it works. The mind just switches back in the direction of Maya. So if you're not feeling like chanting, you should understand that you've allowed your mind to wander and you're not, you know, you've lost your focus and should try and get it back again. And you know, if it's difficult to get it back again, find some devotees who are in that mood, get into their association, and by their influence, that mood will arise in your heart again. Okay, here we go. Last question. In going through the festival of chariot procession, what mood should a person imbibe? Well, I think we've mentioned that. The mood is one of being reunited with the Lord by His mercy, having been separated in this world for a long time. Secondly, what is the best way to please Lord Jagannath during the procession and during the festival at the ground? Okay, that's good. Well, the best way to please Lord Jagannath, the best way to please him during the procession is to be there. Jai. You know, I was pleasing Lord Jagannath during the procession by taking rest at home. My first thing is be there. Like Krishna consciousness, begins, sometimes we say, from the vertical platform, not horizontal. Means when you wake up in the morning, you must get up. Stand up. Vertical platform. Then you can practice Krishna consciousness. Paravida Prabhu probably remembers Mukti Ananda Prabhu. Do you remember him from Berry Place? Oh, really? We had this devotee, Mukti Ananda, disciple of Prabhupada. But he was sort of, anyway, he struggled in different ways. And one of the ways he struggled was coming to the vertical platform in the morning. He would have his own Mongolarty in his mind, in his sleeping bag. Oh well, such is life. So, okay, so we've got to be there. And then during the procession, we should chant and dance very nicely and look back and gaze on the beautiful, smiling faces of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra regularly. And then when we get to the ground, we should, if you should have some service, help with the festival. If you don't, if there's everything's being done and there's nothing more needs to be done, take part in the festival. Take part in the different programs. Paravida Prabhu.
There's one thing what I notice during the yatra, because you see devotees
you haven't seen for a year maybe or half a year, that many, instead of chanting, they socialize and they talk on the sideways. And for me, I make myself a vow not to speak to anyone, or I just say, I'll speak to you later if they want to speak to me, and just chant all the way. And because I was in London, and especially in London, there are thousands of devotees, but you know, only half of them are chanting, actually. So please, if you want to make the Ratha Yatra really festive, then don't talk, and talk later at the site in the stadium.
Okay, thank you. Very good. Okay, Hare Krishna.